love the service. It's awesome. The musicians to take their seats. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's good to be with you. We're going to go ahead and get into the scripture this morning. So I have a lot of scriptures to read today. So if you can open the Bible and read it and close it and you're blessed, you're going to be really blessed today because we've got a lot of scriptures I want to read today. And I don't know any other way than to do today what I feel led to do. So we'll go ahead and get started. We'll open first with Matthew chapter 11. Seems like it's been forever since I've been to church. Just one Sunday. That's the way it is. You never get used to it, and I don't want to get used to the presence of the Lord. Makes you nervous in your flesh, amen, but we thank Him. Yeah. Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading at verse 1, I believe. Amen. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again the things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want to pray just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you for this opportunity to be with your people, Lord, and to be gathered around such an awesome message. Such an awesome truth, Lord, that has come to set us free. We love you, Lord, and we just ask God that you take us each over this morning and just act out your plan in our lives today, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I can't open this word to the hearts of your people or even to my own heart. It takes your great Holy Spirit to do that, Lord. But we know you're here. You promised to be. We've brought you here in our lives, and we're gathered together in your name. And so we're asking, Lord, that you just have your way in this service this morning. Touch every heart, every life. Lord, we just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. The title is today, He That Hath an Ear, Let Him Hear. So yesterday morning, as I was praying, in this phrase, He That Hath an Ear to Hear, come to my mind, come to me, and it kind of was stuck with me, and it became, stood out to me, and so I began to meditate on it, and so this is where we come. What we share this morning. And so, He that hath an ear to hear. You know, everybody that's a normal human being got ears to hear, right? Yeah. Unless you were born without them, which most people I know of, I guess every person I know of, born with ears. And, of course, some people are born deaf. But, you know, everybody has ears to hear. And so we realize that this is not talking about natural physical ears. We all know this and agree that he's not talking about physical ears, but he's talking about a spiritual ear. And so when I was you know, what stood out to me, which I've thought of it before, but for some reason it just stood out more to me now, is that I begin to realize is that when the Lord said this, and he said this many times, and we're going to go over them this morning. That's why there's so many different scriptures we're going to read. But when the Lord said this, he was speaking to the elect, because there is a people who have an ear to hear, and not everybody can do that, or else it wouldn't even be worth saying that. If everybody could hear and it was just something that just audibly you speak and everybody hears it and that's all there is to it, it wouldn't really mean much.
Right.
Just like Brother Branham said that, you know, when the scripture said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Brother Ram said, you can go to the drunkard out on the street, and you can say to him, "Did you hear what the preacher said?" And he said, "Yeah, I heard it." But that don't mean he's got eternal life.
Right.
See, it doesn't mean to hear with your physical ear. It means to hear with a spiritual ear. And when you hear that and believe that, and then, you know, the rest of the scripture is true there. And so, and I begin to realize this is when the Lord was speaking parables. And he didn't always do this, but in certain parables and certain things that he was sharing, he would cap it off by saying, "He that hath ears to hear, listen. Hear what I'm saying," you know? And so I realized he was speaking to the elect when he would say those things, because they're the only ones that do have that ear to hear. And so there's something laying there in those particular scriptures that's for the elect that he's calling our attention to. And I would think if the Lord put emphasis on something, then I think we should pay attention to it. You know, the best thing that God could give you, you know, we say the best thing God could give a man outside of salvation is a good wife. And so the best thing that God could give you is salvation. But we'll dig into that just a little bit deeper. The best thing that God can give to you is his word.
That's right.
Is himself. And we realize that God is the word. And when you hear his voice, you're hearing him, it's him speaking to you. And we realize also that the word commune is to communicate. So when we have communion, you know, there's a deeper thing there that's taking place there. But to commune is to communicate. And so to communicate, you got to have hearing and some form of way to communicate back and forth to each other. And so the best thing that God could give you is the ability to hear him, because when you hear him, you're fellowshipping with him. You can fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. And when you fellowship with him, you're communing with him. He's giving you of himself. That's what Brother Ram tells you. When he has communion with you, he is giving you of himself. And so to hear the voice of God, to have this ability to hear, he that hath an ear to hear, to have that ear, and to be able to hear the voice of God means you are the child of God. You are able to commune with God. You're able to take into yourself the life of God and become one with God.
Yeah.
And so you have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So to be able to hear the voice of his word is more than anything else out there, because if you can do that, then that tells you who you are.
Yeah.
And then that gives you access to the depths of the scriptures that only the Holy Spirit could give to you. And so to have fellowship with him, it's to be one with him, and to know that in your own walk you're drawn to him and he's drawn to you. And I say that because to be drawn to him, to know that you can, in your walk, you can go and you can get up in the morning and you have something that draws your heart, you want to talk to him.
Right.
Something in you that makes you want to go see what he says. You want to look into his words. Or there's something in you that's drawn to him. And then also, as you go about your daily work and so forth, sometimes he comes to you. So you know that you're drawn to him and he's drawn to you, that he has a desire as the living word. He wants to come and impart to you. He wants to speak to you, and you want to hear him and you want to speak to him and you want to have communion. To have that present in your life, then to know that you have a relationship with him, that's it. That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah.
And so this portion of scriptures here, when it says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what this in him," in some places it says what the Spirit says to the churches. This is portion of the scriptures he wants us to pay attention to, and that would be able to help us in our walk as we go through time. He gives us great gain. We realize that we know that at the end of the ages, that all the mysteries and all the things and all the loose ends were going to be tied up, and they're not going to be hanging out there no more. That God, through a ministry, was going to bring all these truths and clarify them. Well, it's not clarifying it to the world. It's clarifying it to his people, to those who have an ear to hear. And so we realize here at the end time that all these things he's talking about, we should have a greater understanding of them. And that understanding will help our walk with the Lord, help us know who we are, help us endure the battles that we're going to endure as we go on day after day. Yeah. And so it gives us great gain to know these things and to help us help us in our journey. And so we're gonna go through these things this morning, the different scriptures, and there's some of them are repeats. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell them the same thing, but you'll find it there also. So I just stripped them all out, and I'm not doing repeats, okay? But I'm doing all the places where he said he that hath an ear to hear. And the interesting thing I thought of there, when Jesus was standing there and he was talking, and this has to do with Godhead. When he was standing there talking, he'd say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. But when John was standing over here on the island of Patmos, when he was telling you, he would say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So Jesus wasn't standing there saying, oh, listen to what the Spirit saith, because he was the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So he would say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. But then John over here on the Isle of Patmos would say, let him hear what the Spirit saith, because the Spirit is the same one as Jesus who was standing there in the physical, but now he's in spirit form.
Right.
And so who was that one that was speaking? It was Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. We know that, but I never put those two together and seen that till yesterday. But so I'm going to do a lot of reading, and I told Sister Vicki she could rest, and I just read them, and so she can put them up there if she wants to. But if she doesn't, you just listen. And by the way, I got some little papers back there printed out with all these scriptures on them. So grab you a piece and take it home. You'll be able to read all these scriptures, even though I'm going to be reading them to you. So we're going to start out with Matthew, and we just read Matthew chapter 11, and so. At the end of that, as we read, when he was telling about John the Baptist and telling about his coming and his ministry and all the things that happened there, and at the end of that, Jesus said, now, he that hath ears to hear, listen. Listen to what he's saying there. And so Jesus wanted us to pay close attention to how that forerunner came, to how John the Baptist was come as a messenger to prepare the way for the Lord and for the Lord to come. He wanted us to take and give special attention to how that would come, that God would pick a man who, though he was coming up in a religious system, he had to leave that system to become that messenger that he was going to become.
Yeah.
He wanted you to see that he would raise up a man that was not part of the systems of the world. He would raise up that man, and that God would give him that message, and that message would absolutely be the forerunner to Jesus Christ. Whether the Pharisees liked it, whether the Sadducees liked it, whether the world liked it or not, John was still that voice of that one crying in the wilderness. And he was still the one that was going to be the prepare the way for the Lord. And so he wanted us to pay attention to how that came, that forerunner would come, how he would leave the religious system he was in, go out into the wilderness, be a wilderness man, not be part of the system, and yet God would use that ministry to introduce the Messiah in that day. And he wanted us to pay close attention to that, because once God does something, he can hold that pattern. He can repeat it however often he wants. And so there's not, and we realize that that's pointing to a message of our day, that the ministry of William Branham does not break that type and shadow there that was placed there with John the Baptist one bit. Everything that was laying right there is played out perfectly in this day, because he had to leave the religious system. He was a man of the wilderness. The world hates him, but he was still God's messenger, and God stuck by him.
That's right.
Amen? Right. So Jesus wanted us to pay close attention to that and notice that. Why? Because here at the end time, he wants us to be able to capitalize on understanding that this ministry was fulfilling exactly what John the Baptist did in that day, but in our day.
Right.
Amen? And so that's why the Lord said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. We go into Matthew chapter 13, and beginning at verse 3, he said, and he spake And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. And verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So he wanted you to pay close attention to this parable, and this was in several places in the gospel, and it says this every time. He that hath an ear, listen to this parable. There's something in there I want you to know. And so what he wants us to know there, and it might be more than I can tell you, but it's to realize that our life, our heart and our life is like the ground that the Word of God as the seed is to be planted into. And if our heart and our life is not prepared right, if it's got things in the way that hinders, that Word that is promised to you, that you could bring forth everything it promised, it can't do that if there's things there that's a problem. And so when the Word of God is preached, and it just lands on your ears and that's it and rolls off, just like a seed landing on top of the ground there, and it doesn't go into your heart, well, naturally, the fowls of the air is going to come and eat that seed.
Yeah.
And you know what? Every hateful, unclean, hateful bird, right? So things will come along, religious system come along, whatever will come along, and take away that word that you could have received, but it just didn't go down into your heart. Well, it can also go down into your heart, but it's not very deep. You can ponder on it for a few days or whatever. It won't bring forth fruit. You can actually let it come down and actually lodge down in there, and you can be a long-term Christian, so to speak, in your walk. But if you have too much of the cares of life, if you're tied too much to world or and worldly things, and even doesn't even have to be sinful things, just things of this life, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, if those things are present in your life, it will choke the word that it would not bring forth fruit in your life.
Right.
And so he wants us to realize that we are responsible. You know, you hear the phrase of hard, stony ground. And you hear the phrase of breaking up the ground and loosening it up so that you can plant. And so we want to make sure that we realize that our life is like that ground. And if you want the Word of God to bring forth in your life, you've got to break up the ground. You've got to make sure that Word goes down inside there. You've got to make sure that you don't have stones everywhere that's keeping it, you know, or thorns keeping it from growing, and things in your life that can choke out the Word.
Right.
And so he goes on to say, but there are some that they don't have an issue with all these things, that seed can go down into that ground and it can bring forth fruit to God.
Right.
And so he wants us to realize that. And one thing there that he wants you also to realize is that not everybody has the same ministry. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is 100-fold.
Right.
Some of them 30-fold, some 60-fold. And so we're not all the same. Brother Graham told us that some people are silver dollars. Uh-huh. Some people's only a penny like me, or somebody's only a nickel or a dime. But some people in his kingdom are silver dollars. And you know, a penny, it may take it 100 pennies to make a silver dollar equivalent, but they are money. So even a person who only has 30-fold in their life is still a child of God, and the Word of God is still bringing forth your life. And so, because, you know, the Satan will come and jump on your shoulders and tell you, well, you know, Brother so-and-so, he does this, and look what he gets, results he gets. I don't get those results. There must be something wrong with me. No, you're just a different vessel.
Yeah.
And some people have 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But it has a whole lot to do with that ground and the condition of that ground that's there.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the seed.
Right.
Seed can bring forth, but it's the ground.
Yeah.
See? But that seed can reach into that ground, and if the conditions are right, then he can use the resources of your life to manifest him. But you have to watch over your life there and make sure those things are right. I want to read a quote here. It's wisdom versus faith. Brother Ram says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. Others fell on good ground and brought forth, some brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, 60, and 30-fold. And Brother Rand's reading this. He said, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then Brother Rand says, "Not wisdom, ears." All right, hearing. And so Brother Rand points out there that he that hath an ear to hear, an ear to hear, not wisdom, not how much you can learn, not how much this or how much that, but it's the hearing of the ear that's what matters.
Yeah.
See? You're not going to bring forth fruit to God by being, you know, a man's wisdom and being studied and learned. That's why Brother Ram would say that every time you get a degree, you just get that much further. Because a man who's depending on his own intellect and what he's learned in his own self, that's God's not using that. And that typically becomes a warfare in a man's life. The more wiser he is in his own self, then the further he is from God.
Right.
And so he's telling us there that it requires that hearing. That's what matters, not something else.
Yeah.
And so on further down in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, he puts forth another parable unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares?' And he said, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servant said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then in verse 37, he gives an answer to them when they questioned about it. "He answered and said to them, 'He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the this world. The Son of Man shall come, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So he's telling us here, he wants you to pay attention to the parable of the wheat and the tares. And, you know, of course, I wouldn't remember anyway, but I would say I don't ever remember back in the denominational realm them ever telling you about the wheat and the tares. But here's the truth of it is, now, this is not what the world tells you. The world tells you that everybody can be saved. The gospel is preached and the opportunity is given to everybody.
Right.
But only he that hath an ear to hear, only he that is children of the kingdom can come.
Right.
And so what he wants us to realize here at this latter end, that get away from the denominational mindset and realize that in this earth, there are people who are children of the kingdom, and there's also children of the wicked one.
Right?
Right? And they may look alike, they may act alike to some degree, because that's what the whole parable says, that the wheat and tare, they look so much alike that you can't tell them apart, that even the reapers who would go out there and trying to get the tare and destroy the children of the wicked one out of the earth, in doing that, you might harm some of the children of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is showing there that this, that throughout the ages, we're here in this hour, we're looking, well, what about all these denominations? Who's right and all that? And he's trying to show us here at the end time, when we come to understand all these things, that there are two groups of people out there like in this parable, wheat and tare. And the tares, they act like Christians, and they have churches like Christians, and they claim to be Christians, and they do all those things, and you can't really tell them apart. Why can you not tell them apart yet? Because it's not harvest time yet. But when harvest time comes along, it's a different hour. There's a different, there's a greater revelation. There's a ministry on the scene. Yeah. And now everything comes out to a place where where you can now begin to tell the difference. The angels, the messengers, the end time gospel preachers, you know, they come along. And now you can tell that there's a difference between all the rest of the church world and the elect bride of Christ. Yeah. You can see that there's a difference. And so he wants you to realize that you're not just here because you made some sort of decision. You're here because you're the children of the kingdom. Right? You're children of the kingdom. And so we have to realize here at the end time that God clarifies the difference, separates them, and judges them.
Yeah.
Brings judgment upon the children of the wicked one and takes his children of the kingdom into the garner. So Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, pay attention to that. Why? Because when you understand that you being here is not just a decision that you made, but it's something that's inside you that's a seed.
Right.
Nothing can change that.
That's right, man.
You are going to be there because he had made you that way from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
So that's the way he wants us to think. We've got to get away from denominational mindset.
Right.
And think, well, I was saved last week, but this week I'm not because I made a mistake. God don't run his program that way. No. You got to realize that. And you know, because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but it's in your own walk when you know that you've done wrong, that you feel condemnation and so forth. It's in your own walk and your own mind with him that you have to deal with that until you can get back in fellowship with him. It's not him, right? It's not him. It's you. And that's a good thing to have that in your own life, to know that when you've done wrong, something tells you and makes you want to get right so you can get back into fellowship with God. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, no, excuse me, Mark chapter 7. And it came to, then came together the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come forth from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Unwashing hands. He answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. So he said, listen to what I'm saying, it makes you understand what I'm about to tell you. Right? There is nothing from without man that entereth into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile a man. In verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So the Lord wants us to pay attention to this. And what he's wanting us to see there is that religious systems are not God. They're just religious systems.
Right.
And because religious systems are not God, they can't live life like God can live life, or the life that God can live in his people. So they have no choice but to revert back to things that are fleshly, things that are, you know, traditions and repetitive things and things like that. And so these Pharisees, though they were the most religious people in the world, but they had to revert back because they'd gotten away from God. They had to revert to all these things, things that they had made up, that if you do this, you're a Christian. If you do this and you do that, then you are the real thing.
Yeah.
See? And that's what every denomination does. It. This is what we believe in. If you'll join with this and believe this, that makes you a Christian. But you know what? When you've got life in you, when you've got God living in you, you're not bound by the things of the world. And you don't have to revert back to any tradition whatsoever, whatever it is. And you don't have to say, well, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. You don't, because you have life in you. And so Paul said it this way in one of the places, and I didn't bring the scripture up, but you'll remember it. And I'll say it this way. We do not live after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life.
Right.
But you see, remember, all these things are to make us to where we understand here at the end time, so we can sling Satan off of us just like that. To understand, because we've all been involved and seen people and been pressured to say, well, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you can't eat this, and you can't eat that. And you got to keep this tradition, and you got to keep that tradition. And all of that is nonsense.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so the Lord, whenever he had this conversation there, when they came to him and they challenged him, why are you not doing it? Why are you not keeping the traditions of man?
Uh-huh.
He rebuked him and said, you're making the traditions of man of more importance than the commandments of God, which are necessary.
Right?
And he said, you act like, you know, you honor me with your lips and so forth, but in your heart you are far from me. And so, he said, when he had this confrontation with them, when he got done with it, he turned to the people who, I want to express it this way, they were watching this. They seen this unfold. And so he turned to them and said, listen, every one of you listen to what I'm saying and learn what I'm talking about here. I want you to realize the truth about this, because that bunch is standing there trying to bring you under all kinds of this and all kinds of that. That's nonsense. And I want you to understand that.
Yeah.
So he that hath an ear, let him hear, so that you don't get tricked into thinking, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. Can't eat pork, can't eat this, can't eat that. We've all had that, and, you know, we know people like that. And so, but we live after the power of an endless life. And so, I'm going to go to Colossians and read where Paul talks about this a little bit. And Paul warns us of the same thing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware. Paul's telling his people, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Why? Because if it's after this world, it's not after Christ.
Right.
And Paul's saying, be careful. Don't you let somebody trick you into this. Mm-hmm. Now let's look to see what he says, what he's talking about there. After the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It ain't off in this and off in that and don't do this and no. That's not where it's at. It's in Christ. It's all in him. That's where it is. So the fullness of the Godhead, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in all the things you do that you're supposed to not do and do and not do. Is that what it says? No, you're complete in him. Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Keep in mind the Pharisees who are all telling you got to do this and you got to do that, and they're circumcised and you got to do circumcised on the outside and all those sort of things. And Paul says, no, we're talking about the body the fullness of the Godhead that's in Christ, which we are his body, and in him we're complete, and we're not lacking anything, and it's all in him, not in all that other stuff. It's all in him. And so you're circumcised in him with a circumcision that can't be done with hands, like the Pharisees had. Follow me? Talking all inwardly. So, in whom you also are circumcised with circumcision, made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or a new moon, or of a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Look what he's telling us there. The body is of Christ, and don't let anybody judge you about what day you keep, what day you don't keep, how you do this or how you do that. He says, don't even worry about that, because the body is of Christ. Yeah. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping the angels, intruding into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And so, Paul lays it all out there, the same thing Jesus did whenever the Pharisees came to him. And he's telling us, listen, when you're alive in Christ Jesus, no man can condemn you. And so, as we read there in Mark, when Jesus did this, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to this. And Brother Bram said, see, it's not all this other stuff, but it's in hearing. Mm-hmm. That in you hear the voice of God, and it speaks to you, and you have fellowship with him. And there's another scripture, I didn't put it on here, but where Jesus said, what you hear in the ear, you proclaim on the housetop. In other words, in that relationship, what he speaks to you, and as you interact with the Lord day to day, you go out and you live out in public what that personal relationship is with him. You see what he's saying? You go out and put it out there for everybody to see what he deals with you in your walk. And keep in mind, if it's really him, it will be contrary to the word. So I don't want to leave that out. You got to make sure it's the word that this voice is speaking to you. And it will be if it's God. And it'll always be if it's God. It'll always be with the word. But he's telling you to take that. And so it's not in the do's and the don'ts. I'm not in trying to say, let me witness to my co-workers and show you that I do this and I don't eat pork and I do this. And there's no liberation in that, because that's not of the body. That's not of Christ.
Right.
You got to take to them Christ. Which is someone living after the... And this is why I had to deal with this. When I come along and raised up in Pentecost with the Pentecost that made you think you had to speak in tongues and all this stuff. And I come along and I hear Brother Branham, he's not keeping Saturday Sabbath. Here's a man with a powerful ministry that's... I can see it in the Word. And he's not telling people, you got to keep Saturday Sabbath.
Right.
He's not telling them, you got to speak in tongues or you don't have the Holy Ghost. I had to deal with that. Why? Because it had been ingrained in me before that those were the things that were true. But I find out that what Brother Branham was expressing to us in his daily walk and was showing us is exactly what these scriptures are saying.
Right.
It's telling us exactly here. Don't be brought down into these things. Somebody said, he approached him one time and said, he said he had bacon or whatever, and they're like, you ate bacon. You know, he had a conversation, they're like, well, you had bacon. So, well, I have to eat. And they were going to condemn him because he had had bacon. Why? Because that was something the Jewish people were not supposed to eat. And they tried to carry that over to us Gentiles.
Yeah.
Please show me somewhere in the scriptures where it tells Gentiles to eat after the manner of the Jews.
Right.
It's not there. But they try to tell you that.
Right.
And when you listen to that and when you're brought down into that, that's not of Christ. That's not of the body.
Right.
That's not where we're complete. That's the traditions of man. That's the things to bind you down into some tradition so that in their flesh they can show that you belong to their church and their belief system.
Right. That's right.
That's right. They know they want, oh, you got to be circumcised. And they say, see, look at all these Gentiles. They belong to us because they got circumcised. See, we got something we can see in their flesh that shows they belong to our group. Oh, these people, they baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they do this and they do that. And so that shows in the flesh they're part of us.
Uh-huh.
And the scripture said that's not even part of that body.
Right.
Amen. And so Paul tells it very clearly there also. Christ overcame all of those things. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Is actually going faster than I thought it would. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Now you realize he's not telling you to hate your parents. But what he's telling you there is, if you're going to follow him and be his disciples, you cannot let them hold you back.
Right?
Right? Even your own life, you can't let it. You remember his word of scripture that he that saves his life in this world will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose your life here, you'll save it. Because there's a price we have to pay in this realm. And before we go on a body change, there's probably great prices that every one of us are going to have to pay in this realm before we can go into rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Not but it's just that's the way it is. Because we're going to be tested in our life to show that Christ is number one and we're willing to give up anything for him.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. And so, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. You know, you die on a cross, right? And every one of us that has one, we have to bear. For which of you intendeth to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and he was not able to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Or what king going to war, against another king, sitteth down first and consult whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So he wants you to pay attention to this particular passage here. But he wants us to count the cost and realize that if you're going to be a Christian, it means you've got to give up all. You have to give up everything. As much as we like to go to Colorado and fish, we might have to give that up. As much as we like our homes, as much as we like our church building and the things we're at, we might have to give those things up. You see what I'm saying? We might have to. And so he's telling us there, pay attention to this. Because if he's not number one, you can't be his disciple.
Yeah.
If my wife has any desires for another man, she can't be my wife properly.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is what he's telling us. And so here's a passage where he says, you got to pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. If you got ears to hear, you'll pay attention and you'll know what I'm saying here. That he is number one, has to be number one. Why? Because if he doesn't have total, complete reign in your life, what can he do with you?
Right.
He can only get something. Yeah. Be like a person who's crippled or got an arm that's paralyzed. Can't really do anything.
Yeah.
But Christ is not paralyzed. His body's not paralyzed.
No.
See? And so, if you're going to be a Christian, then that means that you're surrendered in every way to him. And so that in the ear, when he talks to you and he says, you know, this and that, and then you believe it, you go with it, it becomes number one in your life. Brother Ram says in influence, he says, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is henceforth good for nothing. Cast out, trodden underfoot of men. We must never forget that. Brother Rem says, we must never forget this right here, that you're the salt of the earth. You're supposed to touch lives. Don't ever forget that.
Yep.
Because if you're not touching lives, you're not living Christ.
Yep.
Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. So you are the salt of the earth. You've got to go out there and touch lives. And we must never forget that. We are salt. But if salt loses its strength, its power to contact, and salt can only save as it contacts. And if it loses its power to contact, then it's no more salt, but sand. It's made to basically be walked on.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling you that in your experience, you and your experience is to make contact with people. And through that contact, remember what the scripture said, you'll receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Power to do what? To be witnesses. Power to live a life of overcoming life, to be witnesses. And when you go out and you have to make contact, and when you make contact, it's only through contact that you can preserve. You can't live a secret Christian life.
Right.
A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. If you're not on a hill, if you're not taking what's given to you in your closet in the air and living it out on the housetops, you're not contacting. And if you're not contacting, you're not preserving anything. So it's got to be lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, if you lose that contact, it's ability to do it. You know, you take salt and preserve, you know, salt cure. You take meat and cure it with salt, which is, I always liked it, you know.
Yeah.
I like salt. And something that needs it, you don't have it, you don't want to eat it. Because salt is that powerful. See, you are the salt. You can take a situation that's not very palatable and make it palatable. Someone can be going through a really hard time in their life, and you can come and be the salt and help them through that time
right.
a lot better than would be without it.
That's right.
Somebody did it for you on occasions, right? You've had times where somebody helped you, was salt for you, helped you through, helped preserve you in a time when you wanted to give up.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? And so we've got to remember this. He said, don't you forget this. And Jesus said, he that hath an ear, listen to this, what I'm telling you. You're the salt of the earth. We got to pay attention to that. Because if we're not doing that, we're not touching lives. And then if you lose that, then it's, what's, what good is it for? Just cast out and tromp on it. Man. Almost done, I think. So these are places in the Gospels, and then we get into Revelation, and we realize in the book of Revelation, to every one of the church ages, when he's talking to them, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. There is one place there in Revelation where it said, he that hath an ear to hear. But to every one of those church ages, he would say to them, He hath an ear. There might have been one that he did, and I don't remember. I think there was seven that he did it on every one. He that hath an ear. And so every time he would speak to that church and to that age, he'd give them that message, and then he would say, now, he that hath an ear, listen to what's being said here. And so he wants us to understand a lot of things about that. But especially he wants us to understand the message for our day. He wants us to recognize the hour we're in and to realize that we're not back in Luther's day or Wesley's day or even Pentecostal's day. We're in another day, and there is a message for this day. And he's telling us, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, I won't read all of the whole passage to Laodicea, but I want to read the part where he ends up, and that's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so God wants us to understand that there are seven churches and we are in the seventh age. And he wants us to know what our message is for our age and listen to that. He wants us to understand that this is the last age because of the numerologies. This is the last age. This is the last meal of the day. God's not going to serve out another message revival because this is the final one. And when this is done, the millennium's going to set in because we're going to sit on his throne. He wants us to understand that we're in that day, and that's the thing that's being given to us right now. That's what we have access to, that he has shown himself in this day to be the amen, the faithful and true witness, and here we are, and he's rebuked the churches out there that have got all those issues, and now he's calling to you and I and saying, this is what's before you, and I want you to know it. I want you to have an ear to hear it. And he wants us to know that there are going to be overcomers to this age.
Yeah.
And they will sit with him on the throne. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saint. And so he's telling us here also, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Only the elect of God will stay with the word. Only. And everybody else, if their names are not in that book, everybody else will believe and wonder and support and follow after the beast system. I'll say it in plain words. Everyone will follow after the Catholic Church or the Protestant daughters. Everyone, if their name's not in that book. And so he's telling us now, if you've got ears to hear, listen to this. I want you to understand that when you look out there and you see so many churches and all that and they leave the word, I want you to know they all go after it because they're... But you're different. Your name is there. Your name was on that book, and nothing can take it off. Brother Ram says in 3rd Exodus, and remember, this election, and that's the 3rd Exodus. You know what the Exodus was? It went out of Egypt in an Exodus, right? And then this is the 3rd Exodus. And he said, and remember, this election that's coming now that's what he says, election, is just not going to another nation because they came out of Egypt and went off into the promised land. He said, we're not just leaving from one nation going somewhere else. It's not just going to another nation. It's going to glory where their names are wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not under the natural life of the Lamb that brought Israel out, that they could go backslide and from there and go back. But this can't. This is under the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, and their names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and they're in there. rejected. And when that light flashes over them like that, then denominational walls drop away from them, and here they come. Come out from among them, saith the Holy Spirit in these last days, touch not their unclean, and I'll be a God to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me. So in this last day message in Exodus, we're not leaving just going from one denomination to another, from one tradition of man to another tradition of man. We're coming out of all of that into the land of the living, into a life of the Holy Ghost, where we live not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after power of an endless life. We're coming right into that because our name, and that's where we're coming to. Where our name was on that book, we're elected, and nothing can keep us from that. And when you realize what's going on, when you realize that, you leave all those other things, all those traditions and all those do's and don'ts, and don't eat this and don't eat that. You leave every bit of that behind because you've now entered into the body where you're complete. And he says there, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And so it's been this way through all ages. And through every age, Christians had to have patience to wait upon the Lord to fulfill the word in their day. And by no means, I'm going to say it, by no means, he says, if you will kill with a sword, you're going to be killed with a sword. Yeah. If you lead people into captivity, you'll be led in captivity. And I say that to the denominational system. If you go out and you try to bring people into the captivity of a denominational mindset, a do's and don'ts, and that's not Christ, that's your lot too. But we want to live life. And so what we express, the freedom of life, that's what we have. The scripture says if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you'll receive a righteous man's reward. Well, who's the only one who's righteous? Jesus Christ. And we receive him as that. And because we receive him for what he is, do we get the same reward that he had?
Yeah.
Eternal life. And if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And they asked Brother Brandon what that was, and he said it's to be a friend with a prophet. Mm-hmm. He said it might come in handy sometime. Right. It did for that widow woman. Mm-hmm. So, when God sends a prophet, you receive him as such, you'll receive benefits from that reception. And as he said, it'll come in handy. And I'm trusting in that.
Yeah.
I'm trusting in that. Just like when all he looked across into that past the curtain of time and all of us were there. I'll say it that way. And in that dimension, no one could lie. Nobody could be mischievous. No, it was in a land that was beyond sublime. And when Brother Graham said, well, if Paul makes it, then I'll make it because I haven't divvied one bit from what Paul did. And all of us in that realm, in a body that was young and couldn't get old and all that, we all shouted and said, we're resting on that. And I am resting on that. I'm resting on the fact that God has spoke to our lives and is at this end time tied up the loose end so we understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What God is telling us. We believe. Amen. And we trust. And it makes no difference what the world does. I was talking to Aunt Mary, Uncle Richard, a while ago. And I said, you know, it's permitted for the wicked of the world to rise to power. But we win.
Right.
Because Christ won for us. It makes no difference what they did. We win. And so, if we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ, which we all have the tendency to do that from time to time, to look at things in the world and be fearful about it and be worried about it and all that kind of stuff. But if you haven't figured it out yet, it's wicked out there. If you haven't figured it out yet, our government is corrupt. If you haven't figured it out, Brother Graham knew exactly what he was talking about when he said both sides of politics are corrupt, right? If you haven't realized that they put somebody in office through a crooked vote and through a woman's vote, if you ain't figured it out by now, you're not going to. And I say figure it out, but you see what I'm saying? If you haven't made that connection that Brother Graham was telling us and we're arriving, You know, I know that the internet, Facebook, just burning up with, oh, Kamala Harris, she's that fulfillment of that prophecy. The Catholic Church was the fulfillment of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Years ago. This might be some physical manifestation that might help somebody wake up. But the he that hath an ear to hear already knows that Catholic Church who got in there long ago, and just like Brother Graham said, wait till they worm their way in all the cabinet and all the different places in government, and look how many we've got. We've got more Catholic justices than we do Protestants.
Yes.
Vice President Pence, Catholic. Joe Biden, Catholic. What are we talking about? That prophet knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And evil knows no bounds. They will do whatever they have to do to get to power, but we win.
Right.
Amen. Not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ. Let them do what they want to do. But we have an ear to hear. And we have heard and are hearing what the Spirit is saying to God's elect people. And so, if we've got any confidence in anything else, it's better go ahead and get away from it. And I'm talking to myself, too, because I'm like, man, maybe, you know, if this will happen and this will happen, they'll show them and teach them a lesson. Forget it. Right? Forget it. There's one who's victorious, and he's made us victorious. And that's it. The rest of them are out. If God, if they're not elect, if they're not the elect bride, and they're not those elect 144,000, and though they're going to go through what they are, if it's not, it's out. Right? And the foolish virgin, they'll have to be purged because of not being in Christ. But outside of that, it's it, see? And we realize that now we're becoming more and more understanding that, hey, it's the peace that passes all understanding, that relationship with Jesus Christ. That when the world is absolutely burning down, there's nothing like feeling that presence of God speaking to your heart and drawing you to His Word. And that desire in your own heart to draw to His Word.
Yeah.
Nothing like it. Because that's the only place that you'll have peace.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one guy say that, you know, that in what he thought Donald Trump was going to do, he said, I've had more peace in my life in this last 6 months than I've ever had. Really? That's not listed what the Spirit says.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so, just want to encourage you this morning. It's what you hear. It's what He speaks to you. That's what makes the difference. So let's let the musicians come now. May the Lord bless you. Remember, I've got all these scriptures on a piece of paper back there where you can take one of them and you'll be able to read them. Study them and know what it is that God wants you to know as a Spirit speaking to His church. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this tremendous hour that we live in. Lord, You knew exactly what it would take to get us to that place where we're molded and made, like Brother Daniel was mentioning a while ago, that, Lord, just one day at a time, one step at a time, You mold us and make us, and You get this out of our life, and You get something else out of our lives, until, Lord, we begin to become more like You, more in Your image, expressing more of You day to day. And sometimes, Lord, we know it doesn't feel that way, but we believe that behind the scenes and down in our heart and our soul, Lord, You are changing us from glory to glory. You're changing us and making us to be what You desire for us to be. So we're asking God that in this hour that we just have our eyes totally upon You and not be shaken by the things of the world. We realize the scripture said men's heart will fail for fear of looking at those things that are coming on the world. But that's not for Your people. So we ask God that You let the blessings and the peace of God that passes all understanding be with Your people now. I'll stand and worship just for a little bit. I'm looking for different men.
Yeah. I was sitting there thinking, can I remember the worst of it? I probably said that.
So, well, you know, thank the Lord. You know, I was come in last Sunday evening to pick up the sound recorder, and I came in and found all the extra chairs that we, you know, I won't say extra, but the rest of the chairs that we had bought was all put together and nicely arranged and everything. And I thought, well, that was really nice. And I think Brother Tim, Sister Catherine, came and did that. It was quite a surprise. Helps a lot with the sound, too. And just appreciate that. Appreciate the labors and the help that people do to help us. And, you know, 101 has taken us a long time. You know, we're coming up on 9 years in July. Where did it all go? And these little bitty ones ain't little bitty no more. And now they're singing beautifully. So, but you know what? It's like I said, you know, when we're done here on this life, we're done. It's over. You know, to know that we're going to spend eternity together.
Amen.
What it's going to mean to me, not just my own walk, just to be able to say, I've arrived. But when I'm over there and I see every one of you coming and know that we get to be there together, you know what that's going to mean? You know what that means now to us? We don't count it as but a light thing. It is a great thing to us that you have somebody that you can fellowship with in this life around you. The most truth that's ever come to this earth, and to know that you'll spend eternity. That's the greatest thing you could ever have. That all other things in this world just pass away. But, you know, and Jesus prayed, said, Father, I pray that they will be there with us. And that's my prayer, that we'd all be there together with him, with Brother Brandon, with all the saints, all the different ones. What a time. You know, we started a song service a while ago, and just the presence of the Lord, and I just thought to myself, If being over there, if all it meant was just to be able to sit and feel that presence of God, it'd be worth it.
Amen.
Just like the warm sun beating down on you when you feel sick and you go sit out in the sun, it makes you feel better.
That's right.
It just makes you feel so. If I can't do anything but that, then let that be what it is.
That's right.
But I think we got a lot more than that to do, because Brother Graham said we're going to build and plan and all those things. We're going to do things you wouldn't. And so whatever it is that we're allowed to do, I'm sure we will enjoy it. And we'll get to enjoy it together. So may the Lord bless you. We're going to sing this song now. Are you listening for a different sound?
Yes.
Not what CNN tells you, not what Fox tells you, not what anybody else out there tells you, but what the Spirit says.
Yes.
Amen.